anxious for your preacher to be back home. That's one thing the congregations like, isn't it? Oh, preacher, come, please get back home. And so we've got you all packed and you can leave. But it is good. And I hope that you'll learn something tonight. Not that you never did know it, but that it'll just refresh your souls upon this. We have heard the old saying that God works in what? Mysterious ways. In fact, I would imagine many of you believe that the actuality of that verse is in the Bible. There's a lot of people you can convince, no, God works in mysterious ways is not found in your Bible. Well, yes, I know it is, Brother Boer, and I'm going to find it, but they never do. It's just one of those things that people do. But there is a scripture. Now listen to me from here on. There is a scripture in Isaiah that does convey a similar thought. And if you have your Bible tonight or you're using one there that's in the pew, just pick it up and we'll look at the thoughts together. But over in the book of Isaiah, you know where that is, don't you? It's on page 806 of my Bible. So you'll just have to find your own. But Isaiah is just a wonderful book, isn't it? When I was in Florida Christian College, many moons ago, many years ago, many centuries ago, Brother Homer Haley was one of the teachers there. And Brother Homer Haley, he could preach a sermon that you just sit there spellbound of what he was saying. I never heard him in teaching a class. I never heard him in preaching. But what he had a huge, big thing that he could write on. And he would just write out the most beautiful writing that you've ever seen. And he preached and he preached and he preached on the prophets and especially the book of Isaiah. If you ever get across one of his books on that, do buy it if you can, because it has a world of understanding upon the subject of Isaiah. A lot of people say, you know, the Old Testament is so hard. I can't understand it. I don't understand it, they say. And I want to get over to the New Testament. Well, I do too. But there's a lot of learning that we can do in Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Daniel and Hosea and all the others that are in there just as well. Now, we want to look at chapter 55, and we want to pick up in about verse 8. Got it? For my thoughts are not your thoughts. Everybody ever tell you that? Hey, you don't think like I do. I think better than you do. But for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. Who says that? The Lord. The Lord is saying that, and we need to understand it. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to all the eater. Now verse 11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto my void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the things whereunto I sent it. At getting old age here, my eyes are going really bad. And I keep getting Bibles with a little bigger print, a little bigger print. And as I showed you this morning, the one I could hardly carry that was big print. You know, so I just have to, I don't know what, but give it up, and that might help the whole situation. But anyway, It's very important for us to see what we have in these two verses, especially 8 and 9, where Jesus, God says to the people, he says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways. For as heaven is higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. You know, one of the greatest challenges to all of us in the Christian life is reaching that level of spiritual maturity where we completely trust Christ. Do you completely trust Christ this day, this night, this moment? Are you trusting in Jesus Christ all of your days that you have upon this earth? It's so important, brethren, that we grow, that we mature, and that we are growing in strength and knowledge and wisdom and understanding. And one reason why that possesses such a great challenge to us is because God doesn't always act as he would expect him to act. Now, it seems reasonable to us that God would open a certain door of opportunity. But you know what? God closes that door. He doesn't open it up always for us. And so we can get discouraged. We can say, God, if you don't love me, if you don't care for me, if you don't want me to understand these things, then I'm going to leave you because I don't like that. And it seems reasonable to us that if God truly loves us and cared about our happiness, that he would heal all of our sick ones, our loved ones, and give us more time with them. Instead, he calls them home. We don't like to see that. As I was saying this morning, we just recently had two funerals there at Lake Forest. And those two ladies, wonderful ladies, that wanted to serve the Lord, and their lives were going down, physically speaking, because of their health. But yet, they were the ones who loved Jesus and who did so much for him when they were able to on the face of this earth. And it seems reasonable to us that God would bring our time of trial or trouble to the end of the earth after we've asked him to. And instead, he allows the trial to go on and on. You've come across maybe those people who say, you know, I read my Bible, I pray to the Lord, I sing Christian songs, I go to church, I listen to the preacher, the Bible classes, all of this, and you know, it doesn't seem anything's getting any better. It doesn't seem the Lord likes me. What's going on? What's the problem here? And you know, sometimes not any more interested in me than this, then just forget it. And then it seems reasonable to us that God would give us exactly what we ask for, and instead he gives us something that is different. You know, there are times when I have asked God for certain things that I needed, or I thought I needed them, and God never did give them to me. Did I really need them? Were they that important? You know, there are things that we wish God would give us that we really don't need. I've got a lot of junk in where we live. And I've had a lot more junk in other places we have lived. And you know, you look back on it in life and you say, why in this world did I spend good money to buy that little contrap there, that little thing that's no good now? What makes me do that? When God doesn't do things like we think he ought to, some people become disappointed. They get to be disillusioned with God. And some of them even get angry, bitter towards him. Let me ask you a series of questions here. Now think about them and I'll go slow. Why did God command Moses to take the Israelites through the Red Sea? why did he have Moses take that some other way? They looked at that when they got there to that water, and they thought, well, Moses, how are we going to get across? What's going to happen? We're doomed. You can hear the others are coming. They're galloping along, and we're going to be caught. We're going to either flood here, or they're going to massacre us. God had everything worked out. There wasn't a thing that God still needed to do. We sometimes get excited. God, why? Just wait. Just wait a minute here. Why did God command Joshua and the Israelites to march around that city of Jericho for 7 days? Have you ever sat down with your Bible and wondered that? 7 days he wants us to march around it. What are we going to do? God has all power. He can take care of this city in 1 second if he wants to. Why didn't he just step in and snap his fingers and destroy Jericho so Joshua and the Israelites would be done with, those Israelites? Number three, why did God allow Joseph to be thrown into a pit and carried off as a slave to Egypt? Why didn't God just say, Joseph, I need you in Egypt. Just be careful. I'm going to take you there. Why did he have to wait in all that time, all those years? Why did God just not get it done like that? Well, why did God allow his only begotten son to die in agonizing death on the cross? Why didn't he just send 10,000 angels to deliver him? God, you know I love you. You know I'll serve you. You know I'll do anything you ask of me. Why must we go through all this? Children sometimes, when they were little, wanted to know from mom or dad, why do we have to do this? Why? And you have to sit down and explain to them why they need to be taken care of in this particular way. One more. Why did God allow his only begotten son to do this? Why does God allow so much sickness and disease and pain in the world if he can heal all sickness and disease? For 50, 60 years, I guess, and working with the churches where I preached, I would sometimes go daily, sometimes weekly, of people in hospitals. And it's the biggest one here in Jacksonville. I know when I first came, I thought, how many hospitals do we have? And they keep building more now. But, you know, those were being used. Why does God allow so much sickness? I'm a good man, I think. I know Larry is a good man. I know my wife is a good woman. But there sometimes it seems like God doesn't like us. What's happening? Why does God allow a godless, wicked government to continue to make decisions that are destroying America? Why doesn't God take care of this so we can be at peace always? Okay, two or three thoughts, and then the lessons are going to be yours. Don't get excited. Number one, God's thoughts are not our thoughts. Do you like that? Well, I don't like your thoughts. I like mine. And you say, well, I don't care if you like yours or not, but I like mine a whole lot better. I say, well, I need to like yours, but I'm not. God's thoughts are not our thoughts. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. The late Jack Hiles used to say that God and I don't always agree. I love him, and we get along fairly well, but we don't always agree. Now, can you believe that? Here is a man that calls himself a Christian. He calls himself that he knows so much and that he gets along pretty well with the Lord, but there are times when he says, well, the Lord doesn't know this like I know it. The Lord doesn't care about it like I care about it. Well, who are you going to look to? Are you going to look to this guy who thinks he is so great that he can outdo Jesus Christ? But people are like that. In this verse, God is doing a comparison. He is comparing the way he thinks versus the way we think. Brethren, let me tell you this. One of the hardest things for us humans is to accept it that God doesn't think like you think. You got that? Now, if you will, you may have to write it down or you may have to just memorize it. And if you got a smart mind, you're okay. But I want you to remember this. I want you to stay within your mind that one of the hardest things for us humans is to accept that God doesn't think like we think. No, he doesn't. He doesn't always do that. Just think about that for a minute. You and I have the thoughts every day. And to us, our way of thinking is perfectly logical and rational. Our thoughts make seem to us. In fact, when other people don't agree with our ways of thinking, we think something is wrong with them and not us. Isn't that the way it is sometimes? Well, I don't know. Well, no, you don't. We think our thoughts on politics and religion and how parents ought to raise their kids and how coaches ought to coach the team and how somebody ought to do that. You know, when you go to a game, don't you? Football, baseball, whatever it is that has a crowd. There's always somebody in that crowd that's telling the coach down on the field what to do. And that's the way it goes with people. They think, well, I'm not the coach, but I know more than he does. Or this player, he's no good. I can tell you that right now. Well, are you any good? Yeah, well, yeah, I can do something. But that's not it. Can a man think that he can do better than God? Do you think there are people, I know we read about them, or at least I do, that we read of these people who say, well, I'll tell you what it is. This man you call God is no good. But let me tell you what is good. If you watch much television, you see a lot of it is taken up with somebody else other than the Lord. Other people are saying, no, we don't care. They think they know more than God and that they are smarter than God. Before any of us gets too puffed up with pride, thinking we know more than God, we must remember this. Now listen, we must remember that we live in a fallen world. And our minds have been warped by the deceitfulness of sin. Our thoughts have been tainted by living in an environment of evil every day since the day that we were born. But God, on the other hand, dwells in a perfectly sinless environment, his mind, his thoughts. They are not They're not thought of sin being in him. There's no sin with God. God's thoughts are pure. Our thoughts are impure. Even the best of us at times say things, do things that we know that was wrong. Forgive me, Lord. I'm sorry. We know that God's thoughts are righteous. Ours at times get unrighteous. We know that God's thoughts are perfect. Ours are imperfect at times. We know that God's thoughts are holy, but ours are unholy. God's thoughts are eternal. Ours are temporal. God's thoughts are heavenly. Ours are earthly. Listen to this. God knows things we don't know. How about that? Some people cannot accept the fact that God knows more than I do. And you say, well, yeah, Maynard, you're not much of a person anyway. So there's somebody out here that's got a little bit more brain than you have. This scientist over here, this doctor over here, this person over here, they are wizards. They are great. They know more than anybody do. Not more than God. God knows things we do not know. God sees things we do not see. And God understands things that we do not understand. What's wrong? Therefore, as high as the heavens are above the earth, so high are his thoughts above. I just put in there Maynard's thoughts. That's what the Bible is saying. God's way, number two, are not our ways. Verses 8 and 9. Now, are your ways my ways, says the Lord? For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than our ways. If God allowed you to do his job for one day, how would you do things differently? You ever think about that? Well, you might say, just get rid of all the liberal politicians and educators. Then maybe you would put all the gays on one deserted island and all the lesbians on another one, and you just let them die there. There'd be no more. Then perhaps you would call down fire from heaven and destroy Hollywood and places like Las Vegas and San Francisco and all the other cities that are renowned for their wickedness. And chances are, before the day was over, you would end all the wars, remove all the criminals, heal all the sick, and paint a beautiful rainbow in the sky at the end of the day. Isn't that what you'd do if you were put in charge? Brethren, look at this. You may think you know more than God, but you don't. God's ways are not our ways. God's ways are higher than our ways, and God's ways are better than our ways. And perhaps nowhere do we see God demonstrate this more than in any way he answers our prayers. Isn't that remarkable? I don't know, brethren. I hope that every one of you spend a lot of time in prayer. Whether it's in the morning when you get up, whether it's in the evening when you go to bed, whether it's at lunchtime, you find a place where you can get off by yourself and talk to God. But it is important for us. I know we get so busy. We get so tied up. Children get here, they're going from this game to that play to this, and on it goes. We pray for patience. And what does God do for us? He sends some difficult and demanding person our way. Because in his divine wisdom, God knows that nothing will increase our patience like that. Have you ever had people that would just about drive you crazy? That was a short trip for me, but you'd have a little more time. You know, being a preacher, a lot of times people would knock on my door. And you'd go to the door and they'd say, do you have anything you can give us? And I said, well, come on in. Let's just talk a little bit. And they weren't interested in getting food. They were interested in getting money. And that's what they wanted. And sometimes it tries our patience. And sometimes we're sad that we weren't able to help them any more than we could. We pray for God to make us more loving person. And what does God do? He makes our path cross with someone whose handicap or physical experience or just plain old obnoxious behavior. I asked for strength and God gave me difficulties to make me strong. I asked for wisdom, but God gave me problems to solve. I asked for prosperity and God gave me brawn and brain to work. I asked for courage and God gave me dangers to overcome. I asked for patience and God placed me in situations where I was forced to wait. I asked for love and God gave me troubled people to help. I received nothing I wanted, but I received everything I needed. God's ways are our ways, right? If God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts, and God's ways are higher than our ways, it only stands to reason God's ways are always right. What do you think about this? What do you think about what God does for us when He needs to? I hope that this Wednesday you'll maybe spend just a few moments in prayer to my going to the doctor and see what's what. And I've gone to the doctor several times before. We sat in his office and he came in and said, "You have cancer and we have to do surgery." And then I said other times where my heart was ready to explode, and they took me in and worked on me to save me. And I've been blessed, and I've been thankful. But you don't have to go into elaborate ways, but just remember Wednesday. And perhaps it's not anything great or anything that will take me away from Joyce. If you're here tonight and you are not a child of God, don't put it off. Will you say, I don't know enough? Well, let us sit down and talk to you. We'll spend time with you. That's the important thing. We want you to understand what you need to do. Or someone says, I've been unfaithful to the Lord. I've not been doing things like I should, and I've lost my temperature. My just got so mad and upset and let's pray for you. Whatever it might be, brother, you lead us in this song, and we'll see.